2 Kings chapter 5 this morning. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." We focus on two people this morning. One is a little maid, a little captive girl. In looking at her, I want to look at Kim Gray and how I can be used of God introducing others to Jesus Christ. The second focus is on Naaman the leper. Naaman is a type of every lost person and what it takes to find peace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, the capture of the little maid. We begin in Damascus, the oldest continually inhabited city on earth. If 2,700 years ago we could have been sitting on a street there, we would have been privileged to see the Syrian army coming home from one of their military campaigns. Were we there, we would have been joined by most of the citizens of that city. As the army came home and marched in review before King Ben-Hadad II. At the head of the army, holding in his hand the reins of a beautiful snow-white stallion pulling his chariot, would have been Naaman. General of the Syrian army, confidant to the king, respected by his men, hero of the people. As he passed in review, some cheered, others wept. Many reached out just to touch the chariot of the general. Fathers encouraged their sons to be like Naaman. His uniform would have been perfect, his chest emblazoned with medals. As he passes the king nods in approval to his old friend. Had you been standing there, your first thought would have been, here is a man who has it all. The dream is his and he is living it. He has money and he has power and he has prestige and he has honor. But look closer. The hand not holding the reins is covered by a beautiful Damascus scarf, draped over his shoulder carefully to cover his hand. The scarf is beautiful. It is stylish, but it is not casual. Behind the scarf, hiding the horror of Naaman's life, is leprosy. Leprosy was the disease of antiquity that struck horror in the life of any person. It began on the inside of the body, but first appeared as a little blemish. As the disease progressed, the body absorbed itself. Ears would fall off. Your nose would disappear. Your feet and hands are gone. Stubs are all that's left. Features become swollen and distorted. And death always, always followed. In Israel, you would be ostracized by your family, by your community, and by your place of worship. You would never hold your wife again. You would never hold your children again. Never go to the temple to worship again. You would become an abandoned bit of human wreckage. I'm sure on the day that Naaman noticed the blemish, he would have had access to the royal physician. Naaman was probably a favorite of his also. The physician would sadly shake his head and give the awful news. Naaman, a man of great courage, would have responded flint-eyed. But there is something you can do. No, Naaman, I'm sorry. Ben-Hadad would bring in other physicians and sorcerers, the religious healers of that day. But there is no answer. It's not a matter of money. There's plenty of that. But it can't help. It's not a matter of power. Syria is the world power. Leprosy, ladies and gentlemen, is a type of sin. It separates, it destroys, it hurts. Naaman's wife weeps softly for her husband. Friends avert their eyes, they whisper in his presence. For all his power and glory, no one would change places with Naaman. On this day, as Naaman passes in review, his chariot stops at a palatial home. He steps lightly off the chariot, greeted by his wife and children and his servants. Standing in the shadows, I don't know if you would even notice her. We don't even know her name. She's just a little slave girl. Maybe she cries a little when she sees the sweet reunion. Her life has not been easy to this point. She has been thrust into strange places and a strange culture and strange language and a strange religion and strange duties. We don't know how long she's been there. We do know her attitude. She is a little girl with a lot of trouble in her young life, but it has not left her bitter and suspicious. She is still sweet and kind and loving. On this night, Naaman's wife sees the leprosy worse than it's ever been. And she cries. This little maid is nearby, so she says, "Yes, dear, what do you want?" And she says, "Excuse me, ma'am, but if my master could only go to Israel, if my master could only go to the people of God, there is a man of God there that could help him." It's strange that she would say that. For in the history of Israel at that time, no leper had ever been cleansed. Christ said in the New Testament that in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, there were many lepers in Israel and none were cleansed. She had no basis except she loved Naaman and had faith in God. Which, ladies and gentlemen, is a great combination. Just as amazing as her declaration is Naaman listening. He would have asked, "Do you know any lepers who have been cleansed?" "No, no, sir, but I believe God will cleanse you. Well, in Naaman's condition, any option is a good option. Let's continue reading in 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's pick up the story in verse 7. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet, that there is a man of God in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And some clear-eyed, good-thinking servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. She made an impact on Naaman. And Naaman said, "I will go." Ben-Hadad said, "I will send $500,000 in gold and $50,000 in silver and 10 changes of raiment." So down the Damascus road comes the entourage, Naaman and his soldiers and his servants. He comes to Jehoram, a son of Ahab. But he doesn't have a clue. Can I cure leprosy? He wants to start a war with me. He's looking for a reason. Elisha hears of Naaman, and he sent a message. "Send the general to me." God is always working on both ends of the line at the same time. So here's Elisha, bald-headed, gruff, a no-nonsense preacher, living on the edge of town and the ragged edge of society. Naaman arrives with the riches of Syria and leprosy. Elisha tells his servants to inform Naaman to go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times, and he will be cleansed. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Pride rears its ugly head. Anger results and insults fly. Pride, ladies and gentlemen, is a horrible thing. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your family. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your peace of mind. And pride will send you absolutely to hell if you don't get a handle on it. Naaman thought that the man of God would come out and pray and strike his hand over the place. He didn't even come out. Doesn't he know who I am? Jordan is so muddy. Why the Jordan River? And he got angry. And he said, I won't do it. We're going home. And he would have left with his pride and his money and his self-esteem and his leprosy. A servant said, sir, and I bet he was saying some other things too. Sir, if he would have asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it. Please, sir, go dip in the Jordan. So they turned the horses one more time and pulled beside a little muddy river. Gathered on the shore are soldiers and servants and curious people. While a general descended his chariot and took off his robes and exposed himself for what he was, a leper. He stands embarrassed, and then he bows once and twice and three times. And when he comes up the seventh time, he has the skin of a little child. What do you think he did? He stands there and he begins to weep. And he says, my hands, my arms, my face, I'm well. I don't have to die. What about the joy of the little maid? Can you imagine? Word had to have spread. Naaman's coming home. He's just down the road. Miss Naaman forgets all her dignity and begins to chase the kids down the road. The king is so anxious to see his old friend. As fast as that white stallion could pull, he came. He brought his chariot to a stop. He embraced his family and he wept. Naaman was well. He could hold them. He could kiss his kids. He didn't have to leave and he didn't have to die. And there was rejoicing. Standing in the shadows is a little Jewish girl. Tears of joy running down her face. She had faith in her life and love in her heart. We live in a city of Naaman's, who are doomed to die because of their sins. You pass them every day. I'm asking you to be like this little maid, to take the sweetest story ever told with faith in your life and love in your heart, and go to them. You may be here and say, Brother Gray, I'm a Naaman. And I would say to you, don't let pride. pride destroy you. You know what that preacher wants? He wants you to come down the aisle and exchange death for life, sickness for health. And I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, it's worth it. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for saving our souls. We're thankful for this simple story in the Bible, but it means so much to us because that was us. And we were cleansed and we were healed. And we want to thank you for your grace, for your wonderful mercy toward us. Father, I just ask that you might speak to hearts this morning. If there's someone here not saved, oh, Father, we would love to show them how to go to heaven. We don't have any other agenda. We just want to spend eternity with them. Dear Father, for those of us that are saved, we have family members. We have friends that are not saved. Help us to be concerned. Help us to trust you that you might use us to lead them to a place of repentance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation song. If you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart, we give you an opportunity to step